Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Angela Alberti.
Hello, Ivy Podcast listeners. Thank you for tuning into today's episode. We are honored and privileged to be able to sit with Katie and speak with her on many of the things that are happening within the staffing space. And we plan to touch on many different topics. If you've had a chance to listen to a few of my episodes, then you know that mine are all geared around the world of talent and talent delivery. My name is Angela Alberti. I will be your host for today's show. And we are tuning into episode 4 of what is the Female Empowerment Series. So wherever you are listening and from, thanks so much for taking a few moments of your time to sit down with us and just have a conversation on many of the things that we see happening. Katie, can you give us a little bit of a brief introduction on yourself?
Of course, and thanks so much for having me, Angela. So my name is Katie Larson, and I am a recruiting manager at Celerity, and we are an award-winning staffing and recruiting agency for marketing, creative, and digital talent.
Awesome. Yeah, such an interesting time to be a part of this. And we'll dive deeper into the specific industry that you guys are servicing. But I'd love to hear more, and I'd love for the audience to get an idea of your background and your timeline and what's led you up into more of the leadership role that you're playing.
Yeah, so I actually started off early on in my career in college recruiting and then transitioned over to Celerity and just celebrated my 7-year anniversary. So
congrats.
Flies when you're having fun. But yeah. I began my career here as an associate recruiter and was promoted to various positions within the organization. And I'm currently on the Celerity leadership team in this recruiting manager position.
Oh, that's great. So you started off in college recruiting. How was that experience compared to actual recruiting?
It's definitely interesting how it kind of went full cycle because recruiting for a college, you are educating students on taking out loans and giving tours and helping them figure out what degree is the, you know, the best, makes the most sense for them. And this is kind of full circle now where I, you know, a lot of people have graduated and they're looking to make career steps and hopefully ladder up in making, you know, a higher salary. So it's interesting to see how the dots have kind of connected, but still helping people from the business side of things.
Yeah, that fundamental core of it's a sacred thing what you guys do. It's the livelihood of a person's career in your hands. And it's interesting to see how you really started off from that at such an early part in your career. One of the things I thought was super interesting about Celerity is that you guys have been doing this for 30 years. And not just staffing in general, but with the niche focus within marketing. And if we look at marketing within the past 30 years, I mean, my gosh, it's really transformed and gone into, you know, probably snail mail campaigns upwards towards the digital marketing era. Mm-hmm. I'd love to just get your insight on how your staffing agency has really been able to evolve with the times and really any insights that you can share in that regard.
For sure. And since this is a female empowerment series, I think the best insight I can share is telling the story of how Celerity was founded. So Marlene Phipps is our founder. So her and her partner, Doug Phipps, they actually launched a small graphics design shop in 1990. And 3 years later, there was this huge increase in demand for creative freelancers to work alongside clients. And so from there, Marlene decided to establish kind of an innovative and original agency, which she named Freelance Creative. And over the years, Freelance Creative evolved into what's now known as Celerity. And I think I've always felt proud to be part of an organization that was founded by a woman. I mean, she's been a great role model for me. And in 2020, Marlene and Doug's sons, John and Robert Arnold, actually stepped into ownership roles. But I mean, collectively over these 30 years from what Marlene created, I know we've connected well over 600 plus companies to 5,000 candidates and are continuing to grow. And I actually jotted down one of my favorite quotes to summarize. This is from our founder, Marlene, and she had said in an interview she previously did, "When we started the company, the thrill for me was making connections and finding people meaningful work. it was all about creating happy careers for everyone, and still is. And I think I'm just truly proud to work for the longest standing digital marketing staffing agency in the Twin Cities. I mean, I think we set ourselves apart, not only from like our values, reputation, awards that we've won, but I think we've always been just true to our relationship driven process that we have.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And it really is keeping it so simple. At the end of the day, it's about connecting people and hopefully having the impact to positively change their life and the life of their family and their extended family. So it is it's almost like a chain reaction of the impact that you guys have. It's really kind of refreshing to hear that you guys have embodied that within your own culture. It doesn't matter how technologically advanced times can get. It really is going back to the simple foundation of how you guys started. So thank you for that. That's awesome. And just with the age of marketing, we know that as quickly as that industry is evolving, staffing and recruiting is just behind it. Maybe it's kind of carried this notoriety to be a little bit more antiquated in some retrospect. But what are some of those ideas and those trends that really excite you when it comes to staffing and talent acquisition in general? And maybe that's highlighted or even benefited your own team and the way they do things day in, day out.
I think that helping individuals advance their careers is most exciting to me. I mean, it's so gratifying to play a part in kind of connecting the puzzle pieces between candidates and clients. In my 7 years at Celerity, I know I've placed around 300 candidates. And so I think it's just rewarding to have played like a small piece in improving people's careers. And I think additionally in the staffing and talent acquisition space, I mean, marketing, technology, it's always changing. So day to day, I'm continuing to learn, evolve. Every day is different. I know, for example, we recently implemented a new applicant tracking system that has better functionality. So right now it's a huge learning curve, but I think it will pay off dividends in the long run. And then also, I mean, another trend I've seen is that DEIB initiatives, diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, these initiatives that organizations have played and become a greater importance and focus from when I started in the staffing industry, over several years ago.
That's awesome. I go back to the example that you drew from on the ATS, and I imagine what kind of project that is for you guys right now. It's a huge undertaking, but certain features of ATS systems now have automated functionality that will definitely make the life much easier for the recruiter and hopefully allow you guys to align back to what is most important in the development of relationships with the candidates and the clients that y'all speak to every single day. We're going to hop into the DE&B. I like the way that you frame that because it is really about inclusion and belonging. We are all diverse, just directly by the makeup of who we are. But that I and that B is super important. So we'll hop into that in a little bit, but you mentioned the story of your company's founder. And I'd love to just hop into that a little bit more when it comes to female leadership insight. Can you give any practical recommendations on what's worked for you? Because you are younger, you are in a leadership position. What has helped you when it comes to female leadership?
I think the first item that comes to my mind is knowing your values and making those decisions in all areas of your life, whether it be work, family, yourself. I mean, I've come to learn that leadership is basically an extension of your personal brand, and employees seeing the consistency of, the quote unquote true you really helps build trust among the company. I think secondly, what I've learned over the past year is find a woman mentor. I mean, someone that can help brainstorm, problem solve, see things from a different perspective. Someone that can recognize your strengths and encourage your growth. I took on a mentor this past year and she has helped me immensely. Ironically, she's from Salo. I know you had Colleen Robinson,
CTO,
a couple of weeks ago. But it's been valuable because she can share her journey with me and what she learned as a female leader who's further along in her career, and it can just be an outside sounding board. And then lastly, I mean, just find your passion and stay curious about it and make self-care a priority. I cannot say that enough. I mean, I think being a woman, I find it so hard to balance work and family life. And so it's just really critical, as hard as it is, to make time for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to Kayleen. She is truly an inspiring figure. And, we did have the awesome honor and privilege to interview her on a couple of weeks ago, the episode for that. And it's such a powerful piece of advice that you've given. It really is finding a mentor, going back to your core beliefs and values and what you feel is the right thing to do. I think that's helped me. And selfishly, I'm taking some of that advice for myself when it comes time to realign and go back to your whys. And you know, I really love how you have drawn from examples on how that's worked for you. I'd love to get a little bit more of an insight on what the last couple of years have been like for your team. Speaking of leadership, you've seen it from a different lens, I guess you could say. But when it comes to the demand for talent and really how scarce or maybe how competitive the market is, particularly for a high niche industry that you guys are servicing, what's that sort of leadership style that you think has helped your team really drive the demands of what this market is performing at?
Yeah, the market is crazy right now. And I think that having an empathetic leadership style, I mean, that's really critical in these times, since individuals in the workplace, they want their voices to be heard, they want their point of views to be understood. And since it's a challenging time to find talent, you know, individuals who are involved in talent acquisition, they need to have empathetic leaders listen and respond to their concerns. We actually recently completed an anonymous survey at our organization just to kind of figure out if people feel like they can bring their authentic selves to work and ideas on how we can, you know, continue to evolve. And I think this survey, I was surprised and excited that it really opened up the door for a healthy discussion. I think the main themes we heard from our employees is they want leaders who can be approachable, willingness to be flexible and adaptable, have self-awareness, and again, make people feel like their voice is heard. And I think as a leader, it's important to remind myself that empathy is both a skill and a trait. So I think it's a continual work in progress, continual growth. Circling back on my mentor, she recently told me, I mean, she's trying to go back to the basics and have more meaningful conversations with her direct reports and coworkers, and doing this by truly listening, you know, learning from others and having those relationship building conversations versus just checking off the box and moving on with your day.
Yeah, that's truly, truly insightful. And when you guys are dealing with just the demands of talent and what you guys are seeing out there, and also learning how to build that within your own team and the psyche of your team, it really is helpful to just have that moment to know that you are aware. We want to hear your feedback. We are here for it. But let's take it a step back and talk about just retention when it comes to what you guys are seeing in the market out there. Before we press record on today's episode, we really define, you know, what retention is or how, you know, how to even look at it with this generational impact that we know the average tenure for a millennial right now, is that like 2, maybe 2.5 years if we're pushing it? So what is your view on this quote unquote war on retention?
You know, I think we were in the great resignation and now we're in what people are calling, I've heard a few different terms, the great reshuffle, the great awkward,
the great realignment. There's so many great things happening.
I know. And I mean, I think there were just so many opportunities over the past year that individuals make career moves and are now maybe regretting their decisions and maybe wanting to make the move once again. But I really don't think there's one simple solution that resolves the retention issues for employers. But I do think there are a few things that we can do in regards to this war on retention. I mean, first, as we previously discussed, back to the core of empathetic leaders. I mean, that's critical, and it's important for leaders to be transparent with their employees. I mean, the relationship between employees and their managers is key, because it's no secret that one of the top reasons why employees resign is just due to maybe a poor toxic relationship with their manager. I mean, secondly, employers need to offer that flexibility. During COVID, I think employers discovered that most employees could work successfully from home. And so as a result, long-term, a lot of companies are offering, you know, long-term flexibility, whether it be remote or hybrid schedules, and really also focusing that employees are maintaining a work-life balance so they're not burnt out. I know working from home, sometimes I have to, you know, shut down my laptop, shut the door to my office to go on throughout the rest of my night and spend time with my family. It's easy to just keep that laptop open when you're working from home. And then third, I mean, employees are interested in how they want to progress their career. So managers need to be actively involved in having conversations of the career steps that that employee wants to take, whether it be inside or outside the organization long-term, and identifying and offering trainings, project work, any sort of activities that will help them achieve their career goals. And then, I mean, last of all, I think managers need to ensure applicants truly understand the expectations of the role during the interview process, making it crystal clear and, you know, taking the time to ensure it's a good fit. That's going to ensure that they're going to have a high chance or a higher chance of retaining them.
Yeah, I think you just gave the ultimate cheat sheet when it comes to retention, can I just say? And starting it off with the leadership style, because there is a lot of toxicity. And I think empathy is really one of those things that can, is probably the most evolving part of what leadership is changing into, in my opinion. I've tried to learn to be a leadership that shows vulnerability because I'm not perfect. I certainly know that I don't have my days that are perfect, but really aligning to that relationship so that we can minimize the number of resignations that happen because of that. So awesome, awesome overview. Thank you for that. You mentioned one of those areas when it comes to work from home and how you need to learn to shut down your laptop. And when we were prepping about this episode, we talked about how we can help support working mothers. And one of them is what you have to do yourself and knowing when your limits are. You draw an example from that perfectly. But what are some of those insights that you can share from a leadership perspective when it comes to knowing that you have a staff of working mothers on board with you?
Yeah, and I'm actually a working mom myself. I have two young girls. They're 7 and 9, Claire and Audrey. And so being a working mom myself, I think I've been able to learn some tactics. I mean, going back to the flexibility piece and being accommodating to mothers, depending on their situation. I had a friend recently at another company coming back from maternity leave and her daycare had fallen through last minute. And so her workplace was really accommodating with offering a part-time plan to gradually ease back into full-time hours. So that's awesome to hear. And they're going to retain her because of that. And she felt so valued. Me personally, one of my daughters is on traveling soccer, which can be pretty demanding outside of work hours. And so my leader has been really flexible, just trusting me, whether it's he knows I'm going to log on early or work through lunch because I need to head off early that day to drive across town to get to the soccer game in time. I think secondly, constantly assessing benefits on a regular basis and making sure, you know, you're seeking to support working parents, whether it's getting creative and offering extended paid parental leave for both parents or childcare financial assistance, because that can add up quite a bit. Even like family gym memberships. And then, you know, last of all, just having leaders lead by example. As a working mom, I mean, it makes me feel more comfortable seeing my leader, Robert, taking vacation to be with his family or staying home with the sick kid or going to school conferences during core hours. I mean, whatever the case is. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. And, you know, I love what you said there at the end on how you can lead by example. Truly, it's something that's so difficult for us to do on a day-to-day basis, knowing the workload that's in front of us. But how that can transcend and echo itself into the messaging and the culture that you look to build is so key in everything that we're doing. And I myself am a working mom of two. And I just remember going back to when I had the baby in December and how flexible my team was on just slowly stepping back into it before going 100 miles an hour and how grateful I am to have had that opportunity. So thank you for that. That's awesome insight. Is there anything that you would like to share going back to the earlier part of the episode when it comes to DEI and B initiatives? I don't think that there's enough recognition on how pivotal the role is for a staffing company in this makeup when they're speaking to their clients and they're presenting the candidates. But what are your thoughts on educating clients around these sorts of initiatives within their own culture?
I think it really comes down to educating our clients to hire for a cultural add versus a cultural fit. I mean, for example, a manager might have 5 people on their team that are super successful, but they all come from maybe the same college or they have a certain set of specific experience. But, you know, what if we went outside the box and added someone that has a different background, but they could provide a unique perspective that your team doesn't have yet and bring fresh ideas to the group? I mean, really challenging clients to be open-minded in hiring. I think individuals have a tendency to hire someone similar to themselves, whether they realize it or not. And so we need to educate employers that organizations can truly prosper and be more successful when they have a group of employees that are diverse in all aspects. And, you know, additionally, the organization should mirror demographics of a customer and client base. And just a few other tactical ideas I have is, I mean, analyzing and educating clients on their job descriptions for maybe even accidental discriminatory language. I mean, as simple as maybe changing must have on the job description to nice to have, that could open up the pool of talent that applies. And then also working on diversifying where jobs are being posted. So not just our website or theirs or LinkedIn, but researching diverse organizations that we can post on as well to open up that pool of talent. And then tracking those hiring metrics to have measurable goals and making sure that we're seeing changes. And then also just networking with other talent acquisition professionals in the field on creative ideas that they have, what's working for them, and then sharing those ideas back to our clients.
That's awesome. I think you just answered the reason why the intermediary, the staffing recruiting company, plays such an important role in this whole entire process and initiative that we see happening. And hopefully, as the years progress, it's something that's more adaptable and accepted for the generations to come, like your daughters and mine as well. So thank you for that, Katie. You know, I just would love to hear about, as we're wrapping up today's episode, what are some of those things that you feel are great resources that keep you constantly learning, and that content diet that keeps you up to date on all of the happenings within your world?
I am a reader, so primarily books, I guess, just to name the top three that come to my mind. First would be Make Impossible Simple by Dina Simon. She is our chief people officer at Solari, and she wrote this book just on her story of paving the way, being a woman leader in the field. So she's another mentor and someone that I really look up to in the industry that I think could inspire other females. Liz Wiseman, she wrote Multipliers, which really goes back to the basics of being a leader and working on multiplying yourself, empowering your people. Gosh, there's so many. I guess to wrap it up, Inclusify by Stephanie K. Johnson. She was actually a speaker I saw at Staffing World this past year, and it was really an insightful book on bringing DEI and B back into your organization from all the research that she put together. So I really like to read books that give me ideas on just how to be a better leader in the workplace. I think that we tend, I mean, I'm guilty myself of becoming so absorbed in my own workplace that I think it's beneficial to read and think more broadly, which is why I also really appreciate the Ivy podcast and hearing from a handful of intelligent leaders from different industries, from different organizations.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that. And thank you for the shout out as well. It was awesome to have you on our show. I'm taking a few of those books and it's great to hear that your COO had the opportunity to write a book and talk about the female empowerment staff at Solari. That's fantastic to see. Where can our listeners actually find you and get in touch with you?
I am very active on LinkedIn, so don't hesitate to reach out. Would love to make the one-on-one connection and chat, but I'm so honored to have been on this podcast today. So thank you so much for your time, Angela. It was great chatting.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for your time as well, Katie. It was really awesome to have you on the show, and you really do bring a plethora of knowledge. It's exciting to see your growth within the organization and within the industry. And I hope that we have the chance to meet in person. You guys have to connect with Katie on LinkedIn. It's actually how we got in touch for this episode. So it's an all interconnected world. And we thank you for being a part of the show, Katie. And we thank our listeners as well for tuning in.
Thanks, Angela.
See you guys on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.